Now we come to the second reading, which is very short. It's from the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. It's because of what the Latin translation, Gaudete in Domino, is the way it starts in the Latin translation. That's where we get Gaudete Sunday. And this Sunday, you see, if we're fasting and praying and trying to carry the world to God, we're getting tired. If it's just, another day and we're not really taking the liturgical season very seriously or our responsibility to be praying for the world seriously, well, we don't need much encouragement when we get to Gaudete Sunday because we haven't been really putting ourselves to much trouble. But if we have been fasting, if we have been praying, if we haven't been praying for the world and the nation and all they need, well, then it's nice to have a Sunday where the Lord says through His Word, all the things we've already had already, rejoice Israel and so forth. And now we have it once again in this text, in the letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. When you're happy and when you're not happy, rejoice in the Lord. When you're comfortable and when you're not comfortable. When you're making a lot of money and when you're not making a lot of money, always rejoice in the Lord. I've told you this story many times, but it's quite beautiful. There was a woman, she used to live down in Virginia. She had a reputation for being very holy. She was in a wheelchair. And so people said, is she really that holy? So they called in a fine man, an expert in spiritual direction and in the mystical life. And they said, would you talk to her? Is she for real? So I went in and spoke with her for about a half hour. And he came out and they said, well, what do you think? He said, it's genuine. Such joy, that kind of joy, can only come from the Holy Spirit. A woman in pain, in a wheelchair, who's full of that joy, that's got to be the Holy Spirit. Joy like that, it's not like I won the lottery joy, it's God lives in me and I trust Him. It's that kind of joy. And so here, you see, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. He's telling them, this is one of his favorite communities. They're up in the north there. You remember when he crossed over to Philippi? Well, he did. Look it up in the book of Acts. And he loves this community. You have a little trouble. Evodia and Syntyche, two women leaders, are at loggerheads. But he says the rest of the community, especially the leaders, straighten that out for them. So, I say it again, rejoice. And now we come to some difficult words. The Lord is near. Or before that, your epikis should be known to every man, to all men. Now, what does it mean, this epikis? This translation has your kindness should be known to all. It really means more than kindness, you see. It means your good judgment in the light of the joy of the Lord. How do you live that way? How do you respond to human joy? It gives you a certain tact. Now, earlier in the letter, he had already said to them that I pray that your love abound more and more in discernment. What gives us discernment is not practicing difficult cases, it's love. If I love the Lord, I'm wise. And if I'm wise, I can tell the players without a program what's good for the church, what's not good for the church, what's good for the humanity and what's not good for humanity, what's good for me and not good for me. Where do I get that wisdom? He says back there on that other text, if I had thought about it before we got on the air, I would have looked it up and I know where it is, kind of, you see. All right, wasn't that kind of the Holy Spirit? And I pray that your love more and more grow, you see, in epignosi, in all aesthesi, in all knowledge and discernment. We get aesthetics, a feel for what's right, a feel for where God is acting, you see. And how do we get that? Love. Love. If we lay down our lives for others, if we're helping them, you see, if we're loving, our hearts get pure, and they're not so clouded by self-interest. When we're full of self-interest, we're pretty dumb. Why? Because all my judgments are what's good for Francis. I'm not the center of reality. And I'm not very happy, even though I'm striving hard, what's good for Francis? You see? But your love abounds more and more, and epignosi, which means in experiential knowledge of God, and discernment. Now, he's saying the same thing, you see? Your kindness, a different word here, should be known to all. They translated kindness here, as I tried to point out. It's a difficult word to translate. I have to grant you that. But, you see, epikes, I should have looked at another translation, but I didn't. We get epikaya from this world. It means your common sense, your feel for reality. You kind of know what to do. I'll give you an example. Just came to me. I remembered it just. I was up at Madonna House, and there were about five or six of us around a table. The majority of the people there were Belgian, French-speaking Belgian. Catherine was at the head of the table. I was at the foot of the table, and we had these very sophisticated, cultured Belgians, and we were all speaking French. And a lady came in who wasn't quite mentally balanced, big, tall lady with a loud voice, and I can remember a huge hat. And she came in, "Hello, everybody!" Sat down right next to Catherine. I said, "Oh man, there goes this conversation." Catherine, without missing a beat, turned to her and said, "Hello, dear. We were just talking about..." Didn't miss a beat. I said, "Now that's a class act. You see? That's love giving you a feel for the situation." I can still remember that. I watched that happen. I watched her turn. We were, you know, in a very interesting, sophisticated French conversation. And this lady comes in who was a little bit touched. And big, tall woman with a big hat. I remember that much. And sat down and just, "Hello, everybody." Boom, blew up the whole thing without it skipping a beat, really. "Hello, dear. Yes, we were just talking about..." And of course, the whole thing went into English. And I thought, see, that's love giving you a sense for how to act and how to judge. That's what he's talking about here. I pray, you see, that by prayer and petition, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You'll know what life is all about. Somebody just insulted me. Hallelujah! Forget it. You know? That person is trying to seduce that young girl. You don't forget about that. You go up and confront them. Get out of here. Or whatever you want to say. But you know what to do if you're moved by love. And your love is strong enough to overcome your timidity, your hesitation. You see, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus so that you'll be at peace. The stock market's going up or down or around and around. It's not happy. But God is bigger. Eternal life is bigger. So be at peace. And it's amazing. You know, I've been in situations that have been very difficult. Violent, you know, bullets bouncing off the walls and stuff. And the people who are mature, they're not happy that bullets are bouncing off the walls, but they're at peace. The others are not. They're panicky. When you get panicky, you get selfish. The heck with everybody else, I'm getting out of here. I'm taking the car. And good luck to the rest of you. Somebody who loves doesn't do that. And so, you see, it's excessive concern for self-preservation that has to be healed by love. And that's what he's talking about here, you see. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your request known to God. God, please stop the bullets. I mean, you know, it's fine to do that. But you see, in these four lines, Paul is trying to describe the gift of faith. You see, the Lord is near. You see, he's in chapter 4 of the letter to the Philippians. The Lord is near, and the church takes those words and says, yes, the Lord is near. One more Sunday, and then comes Christmas. And Christmas is not only a day to make the department stores happy. You see, it's the day when Christ mystically is present in a new way to the world, and especially to the church. And we have to make that known. If the happiest guy around is Mr. Macy, there's something wrong. I'm happy if he's happy. If he made a lot of money, why not? That's good for him. But, of course, it's symbolic, isn't it? That the big day they make money is the day after. Black Friday or something. See, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. So that's this prayer that we celebrate on this third Sunday in Advent. This prayer of Paul. So I'm going to read it once again so you get the whole point of it. Remember, I say, this is Gaudete Sunday, from the Latin Gaudete in Domino Semper, the translation of this text we have in English now. You see, brothers and sisters, which is the way that Paul doesn't say that here. He said at the beginning, they put it in to start the reading. Brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord always. Always, I just lost my job. Always. Be sorry you lost your job and turn that over to the Lord. Go look for another one. Fight to find one. You've got a family to take care of. But the Lord is with you, and there's joy even then. As that spiritual director discovered when he was talking to a woman who was sick in a wheelchair, and he said, the criterion by which I know that this is genuine is that the Holy Spirit is there. And I know that the Holy Spirit is there because she's joyful. Isn't that beautiful? You see? I remember somebody once said, you know, I'd believe you Christians if you just looked a little happier. You know, if you're all as dour as we are and as frightened about the stock market as we are, what's the difference? You know, what you're telling me, God became human, came among us, taught us, healed us, died on the cross in an act of love amidst terrible suffering to bring us to eternal life. That's what you're telling me. And you're as scared as I am. There's got to be something wrong. Well, what's wrong is our faith. It's not the reality. Well, can the Lord fix that? Of course. If we do, you see, as he said we do in the early part here, I pray that your love will grow more and more into real, refined discernment. What should I be sad about? What should I be happy about? Real discernment. And so, this, as we, you know, do this on this third Sunday in Advent, it's rejoice. The Lord is near, not just make-believe and to keep Macy's happy. The Lord comes mystically in a new way every time the church takes time into itself and celebrates the coming and the presence of Christ. Amen.